8 in 10 want to see such evaluations every 2-3 years. Now, these findings are in a poll carried out by the group Keep Toronto Moving. Founder Trevor Townsend joins us to discuss and debate, possibly with you as well. At least Roger in Toronto wants to be part of the debate. We'll get to him momentarily. Our other guest, Albert Cole, environmental lawyer, road safety advocate, member of the We Belong on Bloor campaign, who has been on with Libby before. Good afternoon to both of you.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, yourself?
Good, thanks.
Okay. We got both of you on, I think we do. Let's start, if we can, then, Trevor, with you, and then Albert, jump in once he's made his point, and Trevor the same, you know, back and forth. Let's keep it lively, but be respectful. Trevor, let's start with your group's take just on bike lanes.
So just a bit of background. A group of us, volunteers, this is a not-for-profit that we've set up. We encountered earlier in the year that when they were looking at making the bike lanes permanent on Yonge Street, we decided that that there was a need for an organization to be created to provide a counter to a lot of the messaging that we were getting from City Hall about the need for bike lanes. And so we established Keep Toronto Moving. We thought the first thing we should do is go out and consult. So we went out and did or gather some information. We had a poll commissioned through an independent professional pollster organization. We established a website, www.keeptorontomoving.ca, which we just launched last week. And when we launched our website, we launched to the media news of our formation, and we've been inundated with support across the city. Part of our announcement was talking about what the poll findings were, and I wasn't surprised by them. The poll findings essentially suggested that for people in the city that know that bike lanes are there. So we're not talking about individuals who don't drive or maybe because of their lifestyles don't come to some of the major areas of the street of the city where there are bike lanes, but the major arterial roads in our city and people who are aware that there are bike lanes out there, those are the people, 6 out of 10, better than 6 out of 10, who identified that they should be removed and that we should be trying to find a more balanced solution. We at Keep Toronto Moving are not anti-cycling. In fact, we have a lot of cyclists, active cyclists, who are supporting what we're advocating. All we're suggesting is that this is the holy grail of data, 1.6%, that's 1.6% of Torontonians use bicycles to commute to work. So when you think about that statistic, that was the last major census done in 2016 for the Toronto area, we just don't think it makes sense to be creating manufactured congestion on our streets by narrowing the number of lanes and increasing bike lanes at the expense of getting and keeping traffic moving.
Albert Cole?
That's a bit of background on us.
Yep, Albert?
Well, the poll, first of all, I'd say, I mean, the polling is fairly curious, the numbers. I mean, they're talking about 65% of people who have even noticed that the number of bike lanes have increased, and of those, 46% say they're personally impacted, not saying negative or positive, simply saying that they're impacted. And of those 46%, there's only 66% that say there's a negative impact. Well, we're really talking about 20% of people across Toronto. So that's the first thing. I mean, in terms of what Mr. Townsend mentioned as the number of cyclists, I mean, his numbers, unfortunately, are a bit out of date. But the more important thing is that, we all want to find a scapegoat for our problems. So, you know, we know the 427, the 400, the Don Valley, the 401, the Gardner, they're all congested. I mean, none of those streets have bike lanes, but they're all congested. So it's nice to find a scapegoat, but what Mr. Townsend is speaking about are not solutions to our problems. And of course, what we haven't heard Mr. Townsend speak about are some of the real deep issues that are affecting Toronto, and that's climate change, safety for our children, public health, equity. All of those issues are really important. And then to say this poll, which I would say, are very curious numbers that he's suggesting, in terms of findings. These polls don't accord with a previous poll showing very strong support for bike lanes, not only for people who cycle, but for people who walk, people who take transit. I mean, just as an example, the bike lanes provide a buffer for sidewalks. So these buffers that we've lost over many years by widening of roads, these are now buffers for people on sidewalks to provide an extra measure of safety. So for a number of reasons, all due respect to Mr. Townsend, I mean, there's some curious numbers that he's suggesting as conclusions. But secondly, and more importantly, what we're talking about are solutions to issues of climate, road safety, and matters that give our children more safety on the roads. These are the things we need to be talking about without diverting us to, you know, finding scapegoats.
Trevor?
Well, I would say this. Here was the question that was asked. The City of Toronto should move the dedicated bike lanes off the major roadways, such as Yonge Street, Eglinton, and the Danforth, to streets where they would have less of an impact on traffic congestion and local businesses. That is the exact question asked. 64% agreed. Of interest, of the 64% who agreed, if you look at the breakdown of the people who agreed, one-third of the people who disagreed with that question, a third of those people are cyclists. And so we actually have a third of the cyclists supporting us and feel that the bicycle lanes don't belong, dedicated bicycle lanes don't belong on the arterial roadways. So I would suggest, with all due respect, that this position that cyclists themselves all are in unison that they need dedicated bike lanes is completely offside. And so I there's nothing curious about that question. It's dead clear. And you just, I don't think that when people don't like an answer, they go back and attack the source. We went to a credible professional polling organization that gave us objective results. And okay, there's nothing curious about that. It's factual.
All right. I'd ask you both to hold on because Roger in Toronto's been patient here and listening. Good afternoon and welcome. And Roger, what's your position as far as bike lanes?
Well, hi, Bob. Thanks for having this topic on. I think it's an important topic we should all be discussing. Look, I'm semi-retired. I live in the west end of Toronto. I cycle, true, but I'm not one of these spandex guys who races around Hyde Park, you know. I cycle for a reason, and I'm a driver, so I know what traffic congestion is in Toronto, and I try to avoid it because I've driven in the city often. So when I want to go shopping, or I want to go to my dentist, or I want to go have a coffee with someone, or, you know, I want to go out to Sherway or something and pick up something, I'd rather take a bike than sit in the car in traffic. And so that's why if I'm on the bike, you know, I realize my car isn't on the road. There's one less car on the road, so I'm leaving more room for everyone else. But so my question, you know, is why do I have to take my life in my hand every time I use the bike and I want to go on the road in the most efficient way? Why can't I be on Bloor or Yonge Street on my bike? I pay property taxes, I pay income taxes, I pay sales taxes, I pay gasoline taxes, you know, and all of that helps to build and maintain roads. So why can't I use them on my bike? So for me, the whole thing, it's about choice. You know, if I want to use the car, I'll use it. But if I want to use my bike safely and efficiently and not go on all these side roads that people like Trevor seems to be arguing for, you know, why can't I use my bike safely and efficiently in this city? It's good for me. It's good for other road users who are in cars, people who don't have a choice. And as Mr. Cole said, it's good for the environment, too. So, you know, this notion that we have to get rid of bike lanes, I think, is completely wrong.
And if you want, you can hang tight for a second here and listen to Trevor's response. And just so that you don't feel we're not trying to tar and feather you here, Trevor, we're giving you a chance. It looks like we have an opposing view. So I offer you the opportunity now to state your case.
Yeah, of course. I don't feel tarred and feathered. Good. I think the reality is, of course, Roger, you have the right and you have the ability, as you've had your entire life, to use those streets the same way I do and everybody else does. But to ask for 1.6% of the commuting public that are using these bicycles lanes, that use bicycles to commute to work, to ask that we divide up the major arterial roads in this city and take 30-40% of the pavement off and reduce them down to and create more congestion. It's just bad public policy. And so nobody wants you to get hurt, Roger. Nobody wants you or anybody to get hurt on the roadways. But the reality is this is a public policy matter. And if we look at the public policy, it's not in the best interest of the city to narrow the number of lanes and create enormous further congestion on what are already busy roads. Quite frankly, for you to move over one street where there isn't as much traffic is safer for you too. Like, you know, it's safer for pedestrians. It's safer for everybody for us not to be channeling additional cyclists onto these major roads. There's not that many of them. And what I hear over and over again from all around the city where they've introduced these bike lanes is that they're empty. They're outdoor bowling alleys. There's nothing there. There's no one driving on them. Once in a blue moon, you see a cyclist go by. It doesn't make sense for us to be spending all this money, valuable, precious taxpayer dollars on building out this infrastructure. It's not needed. Cyclists have a right to be on that road, and they should be on any road they want to be. But quite frankly, I would say if you have the opportunity to go on a road where there are thousands of people commuting along it versus a road where there are hundreds of people, why would you want to be on those busier roads in the first place? But that's a decision you have the right to make. And if you decide you want to be on those congested roads with everybody else, then you're making that decision. But to ask us as a city, to ask the city to allocate, what is it, $50+ million towards building out all this infrastructure and creating all this additional manufactured congestion in the city, it's just bad public policy. And that's not the way decisions should be made. I will just also add, from a data point standpoint, you know, on Yonge Street, they did studies. And the city hired third-party companies to come in and do these studies. And you know what the studies did? Well, they didn't track cycle use in November, December, January, February, March, or April. So that's 6 months of the year where they would not gather cycle data on usage on those bike lanes. But it gets even better than that. They wouldn't gather data on days where there was precipitation throughout the 6 months of the year between May and October. If it rained, if there was precipitation, they didn't choose to gather data on those dates. And they didn't choose to gather data on days of the month where it was seasonally above the average temperature. Because if there was a heat wave in July and August, it wasn't fair to gather cycling data in the hot months. And in May and in October, if it was seasonally cool, they wouldn't gather data either. And so what you ended up having was a data collection formula, which was tantamount to us living in San Diego. And so quite frankly, if you want to talk about data collection and the way these bike lanes have been justified, the city says that for every 100 cars going up and down Yonge Street, there are 12 bicycles. It just isn't factually true. And so this is, if we want to look at a public policy decision, we need to go back and regather the data properly. And the data has to be gathered year round. And the other thing I'll add, that when they collected the data from June to October, 3 days a month. They didn't collect it for the 30 days of the month. They collected that data 3 days a month. I will just note, in the month of October, it was the Thanksgiving long weekend. One of those days has to be a weekend date, and then the two were during the week. Okay. So a third of the data collected on these busy commuter roads was collected when most of the people weren't commuting to work and back. But the other two-thirds was on a Monday to Friday period, to be fair. But look, Keep Toronto are not anti-cycling. I want to encourage cycling for all the good reasons that Roger and Adam have mentioned. It's great, you know, it's good for the city to get people out cycling. It just is not good. It's not in the right places on these major roads.
Okay, Trevor, if we can, and we'll get to you here in a second to respond, Albert. We've got Frank, who's been waiting patiently. He'd like to join the conversation. Frank, you're in Hamilton, though, so welcome. And you want to weigh in on the Toronto bike lanes?
Well, I'm on a weigh-in for Ontario Open proper. I think that's going over wherever you go. There are bike lanes. But, you know, I got to tell you, I was in New York City recently, and right in Manhattan. A lot of bicyclers there, but no bike lanes. So don't give me this thing that we got to segregate the bike riders into an area of their own. But my issue so much is bent on who are these people driving their bikes? I have to have a license plate on the front and the back of my car. If somebody hits me on a bike, whoever gets hurt or damaged, one does not know the other. They should be licensed. They should be, we should know who they are. And if they do break rules, we should know who they are and we should be able to report them. And or if particularly if they damage somebody's or they get damaged, there has to be a two-way street on this, no pun intended. This is going overboard to the point where they're getting exclusivity. They are restricted from having any cause to have to be on a sidewalk, for that matter. They can flip off the road onto the sidewalk and back on again. And now somebody cannot report them if they're doing anything wrong. So, you know, that's my stand on it. Like all, everybody's saying that people should have the opportunity to bike ride and to get to work and use it for essential reasons. But why are they so pampered to the point that they don't even have to indicate who they are or acknowledge who they are or even apply to say they want to be able to drive on the road? You can't drive any other vehicle on the road unless you can justify a license.
Okay. All right. Very good. Frank and Hamilton, thank you for your contributions here. You're listening to Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Trevor Townsend, founder of Keep Toronto Moving, here with us along with Albert Cole, road safety advocate, member of the We Belong on Bloor campaign. Albert, you've had a chance to soak up quite a bit there in the last few minutes. Any thoughts you'd like to respond to anything in particular?
Yeah, well, Trevor, it's hard to know where to begin, but I mean, we do know that moving forward, we know the direction our city has to take, and that's for reasons of road safety, climate change, et cetera. And so, for example, if you look at Bloor West, where the city is planning to put in a complete street, that means, you know, improvements to the sidewalk and pedestrian safety, bike lanes, intersection improvements. I mean, in that area, we're talking about, you know, there are about 70 towers with more than half of them more than 20 stories. So if the way forward is to be with cars, we're going to have more gridlock. In other words, we know as major cities, whether Toronto and cities like New York and other cities across the world, that dealing with traffic congestion means moving away from things that we've done traditionally, which is build more roads, induce more traffic congestion, and end up with the problems that we have today. So the solutions are more transit, more walking, more cycling for some of the reasons we've articulated. So if you look at, for example, Bloor West, the city's counts is that we've got 156,000 people moving through that area all day. And of those 156,000, there are a mere 26,000 that are in cars. But we see the people in cars. There, you know, there's the congestion, the noise, the smell. But we're not moving the majority of people that way. And if we want an efficient transportation system, we know we need to change. So for the last, you know, 50 plus years, we've been extending, enlarging, and expanding our road system. And the one thing we've never been able to address is traffic congestion. So now to say that the problem is bike lanes, it's to find a scapegoat, a convenient one for a larger problem, which is that, as the listener mentioned, we don't have a problem with too few roads. We have a problem with too many cars. And that's what we're trying to address now with a complete streets that gets us into active modes, that addresses the road safety problem. We have 60 people a year being killed on our roads, including one woman last weekend on Bloor Street. So if we want to deal with those problems, we know what the solutions are. And these past, you know, approaches, and to say, you know, move, put cyclists on other roads. Well, the misconception there is that there's still this attitude that cyclists are doing something different for motorists. Cyclists, of course, are looking for the most direct route. And these are people on bikes. These are people going to work, going to shop. They are taking the most direct route and they're going to shops. So, you know, if we want to talk about data, the city did an incredibly comprehensive report on Bloor Street before installing the bike lane in the annex in Koreatown. And they found of the customers that went to local shops, 10% arrived in cars, whereas the other 90% arrived by transit, walking, and cycling. And those are the people, the cyclists and the people on foot, spent more, visited more often than the others. And the thing to remember about, and ultimately business after the installation of the bike lane was up. So that's why we see, you know, a dramatic fall in the resistance from shop owners, for example, for bike lanes, because they know the studies show it's good for a business and it's good for our community. Those are the numbers that we should be focusing on.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm going to thank you both right now. We've got to take another break. My apologies on me. We were just so engrossed into this, I forgot to keep one eye on the clock. So Albert Cole, road safety advocate, Trevor Townsend, founder of Keep Toronto Moving. Thank you both.
My pleasure. And I just add keeptorontomoving.ca. If you agree with what I've said today, please go to our website. There's lots of information.
Okay. All right. And Albert, anyone wants to get in touch with you?
Yeah, simply the We Belong on Bloor campaign. That's part of the community bikeways. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. We're going to just take a quick break here. Then we're going to hear, if we can, time allows, maybe quickly from a couple of opposing views on this from you, the listener.
Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio with guest host Bob Komsic.
Welcome back. And quickly in wrapping up the show, let's hear from Michael in Toronto, who's been patient. Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me on. Yep. The reason why there's congestion in the city is that the city has been growing by leaps and bounds, but the city hall has been reducing the amount of roads. They haven't built a new road in the city in 50 years, and they're reducing the pavement that is available to cars, but with these complete streets where they put street furniture and so on, active TO closes whole streets and highways. Cafes in the street reduce this amount. So when you subtract the area that's available to cars, then you get the congestion.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. We're literally in the last minute. I want to thank you and get Sylvia in Toronto. You can quickly jump in and make your point. Sorry for the lateness.
Thank you. I agree that the bike lanes should be maybe limited to a less busier road, but only because I think that there are way too many cars in the GTA. Like, people have two and three cars, and that's how they get around, and they're on the roads. So they're hogging the roads. Yep. They don't have respect for bicycle riders. And I think riding a bicycle is just like the wave of the future, because eventually we're not going to be able to, you know, drive three and four cars in a family.
All right. Well, Sylvia, I'm sorry to cut you off. It's obviously a conversation that's going to continue. Unfortunately, it'll have to continue on another day. Bob Komsic in for Libby Znaimer. Back tomorrow on Fight Back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.